You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, LeBron James hits the game-winning shot at All-Star Weekend, JC, and all of a sudden, at least in Brian Windhorst's world, the Lakers are officially on notice. Welcome in, welcome back. This is the Ethos Lakers podcast. Me and JC on this fantastic voyage. JC, let's get right into it because, you know, right before we recorded yesterday, you texted me, you said, hey, let's record something on LeBron's commentary. Obviously, it caused our man Windy to hit the panic button. What's your take on all of this amidst everything the Lakers have gone through this season?
I mean, it seems par for the course as far as like there being extra drama around this team, despite the fact that if it were any other team with this record and playing this way, they wouldn't be as interesting. But because there are the Lakers and because it is LeBron, everything, you know, he says, everything around this team gets amped up an extra level. The Windhorst thing, I think, does make it pretty interesting because starting with the Harden trade, Brian Windhorst was the one the day before the trade who was reporting that Harden was saying, you know, get me out of Brooklyn, was screaming, get me out of Brooklyn, while Woj, for whatever reason, was trying to dispel any rumors that other coworkers might be saying. Like, I don't know what was going on there and why he was trying to subtweet Windhorst and what's going on at ESPN. But yeah, I think Windhorst got a lot of credibility that day for, of course, you know, him being the LeBron whisperer. And I mean, it kind of makes sense as far as if you followed LeBron throughout his career, he's very demanding of the organizations that he plays for, of the teams that he plays for. And I mean, you know, Westbrook might have been his idea, but at the very least, he does seem to have acknowledged that it was a bad idea and he wants some sort of course correction. And the Lakers didn't really give him any.
So here's my take on it, because I think that is a more mild take than what I'm going to give you. As usual, you're a little bit more mild than I am. I like to be a little bit more inflammatory, but I like that we have that balance, JC.
Yeah. I'm an unabashed LeBron supporter. This is maybe the second time in his career where I might kind of lean back and be like, this is not exactly the best of optics, LeBron. Like, not the best look.
Well, and you know, listen, no matter how good any of us are at whatever it is that we choose to do, none of us are infallible. So even LeBron James makes mistakes, okay, believe it or not. That all being said in the context of this, I am not here to doubt the credibility of Brian Windhorst because he has been covering LeBron James a lot longer than I ever did. Now, I got the great fortune of being in NBA media as my full-time career before I decided to go into education. So I'm very fortunate for every opportunity received. And it is a tough industry in which you really have to work hard. And there's a reason that he's been so successful, like others who have maintained that staying power, right? That's true of anyone, no matter what it is that they do. So I agree that there is some level of credibility to be put behind this. But here's my issue. First of all, I understand Windhorst, like Woj or anyone else, I realize they don't write their own headlines, okay? So I'm not going to put the headline on him. But what I am saying is, let's just stop stating the obvious, right? Because any team, as you alluded to, that LeBron has ever been on, is in his entire life since competitive basketball was a thing in his life, has experienced some pressure to win. He has always been the best player on his team at any and every level in which he has competed. So whether he was on his high school team, whether he was on the Cleveland Cavaliers, Miami Heat, Los Angeles Lakers, an Olympics team, or anything in between, this has always been the case. LeBron and Anthony Davis were both very vocal about the desire to play one with one another. The Lakers were able to facilitate that opportunity, in turn became a near immediate championship, which the Lakers organization should still be proud of, and those guys should still be proud of, while demanding accountability in the present time. As you said, JC, maybe LeBron acknowledges that Westbrook was an idea that he signed off on, but by the same token, when you make a decision, when you decide to pursue an option, you are flexing out your opportunity cost. And we understand that LeBron also met with Damian Lillard this summer, and LeBron may or may not have had conversations with Bradley Beal this summer. And I'm not saying that either of those guys were available at the time, but the Lakers were pretty very much clearly holding out hope that at least one of those two would become available and they'd be able to make that trade for a third star who really fits the construct of the team much better than Westbrook or a number of other targets could have. At some point, the Lakers basically said, well, fuck it, we're going to go ahead and do it, right? Because we want that guarantee. We don't want the non-guarantee. We're concerned about depth. We all sat here and said, man, it would be nice if at least somebody who is durable would be able to step into that sort of role, that spotlight, that whatever you want. So LeBron and or AD could take a night or two off here and there, because in LeBron's case, where he is in his career, and in AD's case, the durability that he's shown or lack thereof at certain moments in his career. Unfortunately for the Lakers, it has been a confluence of factors that has aggravated all of those things and resulted what we've seen so far to date. Westbrook has been the questionable fit that so many of us said he would be, but to very dramatic extents at times, so much so that there were calls to not only trade him, but literally put him on the bench. Furthermore, you've had LeBron miss time with injury as a complication of basically his age and not much more than that, the mileage on his tires. Lastly, AD has fallen victim to, again, the injury bug this season, where he is now set to miss his second extended stretch of time. So, JC, you hope that all of these things don't happen in the course of the same season, let alone at the same time. The Lakers have had no shortage of problems, but to say that the pressure is on the organization in an effort to relieve the pressure off of LeBron, I need LeBron to stand up in that room and say, it's on me. This has been mine, and I think yours as well, sort of our critique of the players this season. It's not that I'm okay with losing, but I understand that losing happens. And as I've said many times, sometimes you have ideas that just don't work, but you have to be able to own it and say, it's on us. There's nothing that someone else could have done better. And to have this idea that the organization owes LeBron something, the organization that has catered to LeBron since his arrival and has been a very mutually beneficial relationship, I think it's just sort of a weird way to go about it.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, you know, we spent all of last week, or all of the trade deadline, basically kind of condemning James Harden for throwing a temper tantrum on his way out of Brooklyn. And this isn't, I mean, you know, people that don't like LeBron are probably say this is kind of the same thing, but he's not quitting on this team. But it is a little unbecoming of, you know, to be able to question the organization, to let it leak that Clutch is not happy with the Lakers. I don't think that sets up a good relationship for wherever else he might go if he were to go somewhere else. It's basically putting out the message that Clutch is going to be in charge of wherever else he goes, and I don't know what other teams would necessarily want to take that on.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, talent's always going to win out in the NBA, right? So the more guys that sign with Clutch, the more that they're going to be able to control the marketplace. Just like the more agents that feed Woj or Shams or any insider more information, it leverages the ability of the reporter in that case. So to some extent, I hear what you're saying. On the other extent, I kind of wonder if it really matters. But at the end of the day, for me, it's just that this team, this construct, this iteration of players, the coaching style, the coaching staff, there is no one singular problem. I know everybody wants to say Westbrook, Westbrook, Westbrook. I agree that Westbrook is part of the issue. But there is no one singular problem, no one singular issue, JC, that is so apparent that it will cure this team's ills. In fact, all we have heard this season, all we have heard from this team, it's okay, we're going to turn it on when we need to, give us time. We're bored by the regular season, basically. We have nothing left to prove. Well, you know what? This team has a lot to prove. They have to stop leveraging the Los Angeles lifestyle of being an entitled son of a bitch and start showing that they care about things on the court. And JC, to their credit, in the last two games before the All-Star break, a very, very, very narrow loss against the Warriors that required Klay Thompson's literal best game in 3 years and both LeBron and Anthony Davis going ice cold in the fourth quarter to lose by 2 points. Following that, in the game in which AD went down with the injury, a comeback win against a very good Utah Jazz team with Rudy Gobert in the lineup. It looked like this team, as I said to you just before we started recording today, it looked like this team was finally interested in competing, and damn, it's about time.
Yeah, and in both of those games, I mean, the one highlight of the season has been the discovery of Austin Reaves, and in both of those games, Golden State and Utah, Austin Reaves was just out of this world. He was really great in the fourth quarter. He's turning into a really great on-ball defender for the most part, despite the fact that Klay had his best game of the season. Austin Reaves was kind of holding him in check, and he proved to be a good one-on-one defender. And he has an advantage over, you know, the Caruso that we lost, in that he's taller. He's maybe not a little bit more athletic, but being bigger and probably a little bit of a better shooter, he hit that clutch shot against Utah. Yeah, he should be around for the long haul.
The most exciting thing for me about the last two games was watching the way Russell Westbrook finally decided to play, JC. Finally getting into the paint. Finally having guys trail him into the paint. That's where he can make his damage done. Not settling for jump shots around the key or behind the arc or all these fakakta, godforsaken positions that he's put himself and his team into this year. Over the last two games, Russell Westbrook shooting 50% from the field. He's only averaging 18 points, only 7 rebounds, only 5.5 assists. It's not that those are terrible numbers. It's just that he doesn't need to be that Russell Westbrook on speed version, for lack of a better way to explain this, that we saw in OKC, that we've seen in Washington, that we saw briefly in Houston. He doesn't need to be that one-man show, this wrecking ball that only goes at one speed for this team. He just needs to play his part. And if he can really, really, really commit to that and understand it and stay out of his head, Russell Westbrook has a chance to be a difference maker without having a statistical explosion on the stat sheet in the absence of Anthony Davis in particular.
Yeah, I agree. And the way he's been playing has been really great. His stat lines are, you know, not out of this world stupendous. The problem is still his lingering contract. And it's one of the reasons why I've talked about it. If he can be convinced to opt out of the 45 or 47 million he's getting next season, if he was going to re-sign after next season for another 50 or so million, have him opt out and re-sign for a 3-year $70 million deal, a 3-year, you know, stretch that money out, because he can play 3 more years if he's not as big of a hit on the salary cap, and he's going to play the way he's played the last two games. Yeah, that'll work out fine. If the issue becomes if they can't sign players because of his contract.
I gotta ask you, and I promise you I don't mean for this to be a loaded question, but I have to ask you, given how Russell Westbrook has been received by Laker Nation this year, if the Lakers were to engage in contract extension conversations, do you think that Lakers fans are smart enough? And I promise, I'm not trying to trap you with this question. Mm-hmm. Lakers fans, or at least the majority of Lakers fans, are smart enough to understand the impact that could have versus just seeing it for the sticker shock that we all know it would cause.
I mean, I don't know about majority. I think more and more NBA fans are becoming a little smarter. Like, one of the things you immediately heard after the Harden trade was, 5 years from now, when he's 37, he's going to make $61 million that season. Like, you think Russell Westbrook this season is a disaster? James Harden, 5 years from now, making $60 million in 1 year. I can't even imagine. And so I do think people have a basic understanding of salary cap ramifications, and that there might be an ignorant some that might hear that scenario I talked about and be like, three more years of Russell Westbrook, are you serious? But again, if that money is stretched out and the Lakers have the room to sign more players because of a smaller cap hit, the ones who understand that, I think, will be down.
When you just said James Harden was making $60+ million at age 37, all I saw was Rick Ross's buddy Double just burying himself in Wingstop. So that's where my brain is right now. So I get what you're saying on Westbrook. You got to play the long game in order to play the short game. So I think that when it's explained like that, it can at least be defensible. At the same time, what you're asking Russell Westbrook to do in that construct, right? Because he's going to make, let's say, $45, $47 million. He'll never, ever, ever, ever make that much in a season again. Do you agree with that? No matter what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If he opts in, that's right. The last time he'll make that much in a season.
Right. Okay. So this is his last opportunity to make that much in a single season. And how much that matters to him is, I guess, something we could potentially see. Because the reality is, let's say he opts in. After that, you're telling me that he's saying that I can't get more than 2 years and $25 million after that contract expires to get the same amount of money, right? To get $45, $47 million guaranteed this year, I need 2 years and $25 million to match 3 years and $70 million. You think Russell Westbrook would have trouble getting a two-year, $25 million deal after that?
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I mean, if he plays like he has the early part of this season, yeah, I don't see him.
I mean, it's a legitimate question. Like, I'm not trying to like break it down or mock the consideration, because I think it's something that, you know, not a lot of Lakers fans or maybe even the front office, to be honest with you, is considering. And I really like the potential of it, if and only if it provides something that you sacrifice by acquiring Westbrook in that optionality, which I was talking about just a few minutes ago. You're really one of the only people I've heard pushing this concept. So I'm really into it in terms of the original thought. I'm just trying to play a little bit of A, devil's advocate, and B, get into Russell Westbrook's mind space, because if he feels, or his representation or whatever, we think that he can't get 2 and 25, that does make that potential structure more appealing from his side. And what's the value of him remaining in at home and playing for the Lakers? If that value is, you know, that's always going to depend on the player. But for him, who's got a wife, who's got two kids, maybe it's a little bit higher. And he might have more than two kids, but I know he has two for sure.
Yeah, it just kind of depends on what's important to him. But yeah, as far as other teams, like, I mean, the way NBA Twitter is, and I don't know how much teams really
he's got
that or you know. If he signs with another team, I don't think a lot of fans would be into that, you know, after this season. And, you know, even if he, and so because of that, I think $25 million per season after, when he's going to be, what, 36? 37, something like that. Yeah, I don't know how many fans would be down with that. And so that's why I don't know if another team would really sign him in that case. Like, I'm sure somebody would sign him. You hope it's not, you know, you hope it's not like a veteran's minimum at that point in his career, because he is a better player than that. But, I mean, that's a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he'll fall quite all the way into that spiral. But nonetheless, I hear you. Definitely. Carmelo
Anthony. Like, think of what happened with Carmelo Anthony. He was out of the league for a year and almost 2 years, basically. It's, and now he's a vet minimum guy.
It's true. I think it's very difficult, given the type of player that Westbrook is, to defensively bring him in as a supporting player, and as a result, that sort of artificially pushes down his earning potential. And what I mean in English when I say that is that, because like Carmelo, and I think that's a sort of interesting parallel that you draw, like Carmelo, nobody wanted to sign Carmelo, not in part because they didn't think he couldn't play, but they didn't think he would accept his role as a supporting cast member, right? And so we don't really want to pay Melo $8 or $10 million a year, because he's just going to be sort of a headache if he's not the star. Therefore, we're going to use that money on, you know, someone who might have even less talent, but we think is going to be a better fit. And as a result of that, after that market sort of dries up between the stars getting their max contract and then the next wave of guys getting their mid-levels, biannuals, all that, what's left is minimum contracts. And so if you're in need of a job and you have no real leverage, you wind up having to sort of settle or play that game. So there is a pathway for that too. That said, you know, I think something really dramatic and drastic would have to happen. But we've seen comparable things happen, and there is no such thing in the NBA as untradeable. There's no such thing as impossible, because we've seen all of that happen. We've said it time and time again, and sure enough, here we are. So it is going to be a very interesting ride as Russell Westbrook tries to sort of prove his worth once again, despite what he may say in his press conferences throughout the season, in the wake of Anthony Davis being out of the lineup. And JC, when Anthony Davis went out of that lineup, I literally just smiled and I said, well, thank God that I don't have to write the blurb on this one, because I am just in an emotional state. So that's a good time to remind everyone to take a moment and follow @EthosFantasyBK on Twitter, the single most dominant basketball fantasy news feed on earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition, and it provides more analysis too. Again, that's @EthosFantasyBK on Twitter. Click that follow button. We're 3/4 into the season. It's just about time to start ramping up in preparation of the fantasy playoffs. Don't miss the opportunity. JC, AD, it did not look good. It did not look good. It did not look good in real time. It did not look good in slow motion. And it did not look good when he did not return, until it looked good at the very end and Lakers were able to come back. So assuming they're able to play with that same level of energy and fight and competitiveness, you know, you're going to have to ask Russell Westbrook and, of course, LeBron James to play just gargantuan roles on this team. The thought is, JC, that AD is only going to miss a couple of weeks maybe. It feels like to me he's probably going to miss a little bit longer than that.
Yeah, I think reevaluated after 4 weeks. When that happened, like sprained ankles are a weird thing because of the way the ankle bends. It always looks like a break. If you've ever sprained an ankle yourself, it always feels like a break. It almost never is a break. I saw that and I was like, that's for sure broken. And I mean, sure enough, it wasn't. But yeah, it looked about as bad as a sprained ankle can look. Like, it was terrible.
It was so bad. Ironically, I have actually both sprained and broken my ankles, so I know what it feels like in both cases, but it ain't good either way. Mid-foot sprain and reevaluated in 4 weeks. So who even knows what it is? Because mid-foot sprain and ankle sprain are two very different injuries. AD has dealt with a calf strain before, which is really more about the Achilles than the calf. So when you're that big, you're that lanky, and you've got issues with your feet, it always reminds me of Yao Ming. That's basically what ended his career, is he couldn't get that foot to cooperate with him. And so it's a real concern. I mean, the Lakers, You're talking about a scenario in which the Lakers could basically be without Anthony Davis for the rest of the regular season, whatever is left, during that time period. And then if they're fortunate enough to get into the playoffs, which is no guarantee, potentially even starting without him. So this is not a good development. The Lakers being reliant on the buyout market in an effort to upgrade the roster, I don't see a lot materializing in the way of something that's really going to help this club at this point in the season. This idea that, oh, wait until Ariza, wait until Nunn, wait until is just so overplayed. We've talked about it time and time and time again on our episodes. The Lakers are going to have to figure it out with what's on the roster.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, yeah, Anthony Davis, when he comes back, because he's had foot issues with either the strained calf / Achilles and now an ankle, a midfoot, like, I know he loves Kobe. I know he loves playing in those shoes. Those shoes are way too low cut for a player that plays the way he does. He might need to consult with somebody like Steph. Like, Steph Curry almost had ankle issues that almost took him out of the league, and he wears those huge, bulky ankle braces, and he still wears low-cut shoes. And, you know, some people kind of make fun of him because they look kind of goofy, but, like, dude runs around, and you almost never hear of him spraining an ankle anymore. And he might need to look into something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm no doctor, but at the same time, like, this team needs him to be able to be available. This team absolutely needs him to be able to be relied upon. Reliability and availability are two of the biggest abilities in the NBA and really in any professional sphere, JC. So Lakers need to be able to get a little bit more there. But in the interim, they're going to have to just do it without him and do it without him indeed. As the Lakers come out on the other side of the break, JC, we're looking at a schedule in which it would really, really, really be something if they could go 4-0 out of the chute here. Two games against the Clippers, game against the Pelicans, and a game against the Mavericks. JC, if the Lakers are able to go 4-0 before they take on the Warriors again, and they're able to pull up some ground in the standings and make up a little bit of space as they try to get out of that playoff play-in scenario potentially, the Lakers win four straight, JC. They'd be at 500 for the first time in a little while.
Yeah, and I mean, even though they've got a little bit of a cushion from the 11th spot, which is lottery town, Portland is definitely on their way up. Like, the gap between the Lakers and Portland used to be bigger. Portland is coming up. Their team is playing really well after their trades of acquiring Josh Hart, and I forgot who else they acquired, but they've been playing really well lately. And so, yeah, they're coming up, and it's not exactly an easy ask to say beat the Clippers, beat the Mavericks, because Mavericks are fifth in the West and the Clippers are one spot ahead of the Lakers, but it's definitely doable. They were able to beat Utah the way they were when Utah was fully healthy. Yeah, anything is possible with this team.
Before we start wrapping it up, and the other side of the season, everybody says the halfway point, but literally three quarters into the season. JC, how do you feel about All-Star Weekend? Now that we've had a minute to digest it, marinate on it, all those things, I think let me just preface that by saying the league is very lucky that the game itself was so entertaining, so no one was talking about Saturday night.
Yeah. since they revamped the format and the games have been really entertaining the last 4 or 5 years, I love basketball. I've loved basketball since I was like 6 years old. All-Star Saturday night used to be, and Friday night, even with the rookie sophomore game and the celebrity, like everything All-Star weekend, I would consume. I would cut all schedules, no matter what, I had to be in front of it.
Exactly. Like even like maybe 10, 15 years ago, JC, even going back to quote unquote that recently enough ago, like for me, that's when I was in college. Like, I would give up going out for the weekend because, no, fuck that. I'm trying to watch this, you know?
Yeah. And
really watch it. Now, yeah. I worked through it this weekend. And yeah. I really felt like I missed
Saturday, I didn't watch Saturday.
I felt like I missed nothing. I did. I caught most of the three-point competition because that's what's interesting to me at this point more than anything. And I love the Towns won it because I called it and I got witnesses on that. So if anyone wants to ask them, please feel free.
Oh, man, if you had a bet on that, he was plus 1,200.
If I had bet on that, I would have really been feeling a little bit better than what I felt like afterward, because I said exactly that. I said, damn it, I should have actually bet on that. JC, if you were to bet on something, where would you bet?
Mybookie.ag.
Why would you bet at mybookie.ag?
With promo code HoopBall, I believe they'll match you at a first deposit.
Yes, they will. So don't forget about mybookie.ag. We love them there. Shout out to manscaped.com. Use the code HoopBall20 at manscaped.com. 20% off your order and free shipping. Called Carl Anthony Towns a three-point contest, JC. The skills competition, I appreciate that they revamped the format. The problem is they need to revamp the whole evening. And the skills competition needs to go away. Nobody is coming to All-Star Saturday night to watch guys passing. I'm sorry. Like, that's just – it's not it. Okay, so let's start there. Furthermore, the dunk contest, there is no incentive for anyone even moderately good at it to participate, because it's all downside. So that's why you get these competitions, air quotes, competitions like the one that we saw this year. It's just not it. They got to end with the three-point contest. That's the most exciting thing in today's NBA, is the three-point contest. And with that, and really think about what you could do on Saturday night, because the current format is really lacking some juice. But what won't be lacking juice, JC, is the fact that we got the other side of the season to go with LeBron and now Westbrook leading the way. We'll see if the Lakers roster changes a little bit at all. Do you think the Lakers pick up on how they had been playing? Do you think they're able to capture that energy? Or do you think this is another facade in a season full of mirages?
I mean, it's so hard to say. I mean, especially – you don't know what the aftermath of these stories about Clutch and LeBron not being happy with the Lakers. You don't know if there'll be any kind of aftermath. You know, they've got to fall pretty far to be in Lotto land. And so, you know, they've got a little bit of a cushion. And so because of that, I think they'll still keep playing hard. I think if they get to even if there's like 10, 15 games and they're mathematically eliminated for whatever reason, then I think you'll see LeBron shut down for those games. But yeah, and speaking of which, if that is a concern for Lakers fans, I looked it up. If God forbid the Lakers do end up in the lottery, they do have a pick in this lottery if it's 1 through 8. If it's 9 or higher, it goes to, I forget, but the Lakers don't own it if it's 9 or higher.
Wonderful. The way that this season has gone for the most part, I expect the Lakers to be picking 9th and therefore not picking it at all. All of that said, hopefully we find ourselves in the playoff picture, as is usually the case in Lakerland, especially since LeBron has joined the team. All right, JC, until next time, Laker Nation, thanks for listening to the Ethos Lakers pod. He's JC, I'm Ethan. Find us on Twitter at JCDeLeon1 and me at Ethan_Noroff. You find us over at Ethos Lakers. Until next time, we out.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.